Have you yourself ever felt trapped? Have you ever felt cornered or like you're in a kind of a situation that is just hopeless and you cannot see a way out? Well, if you've ever felt that way, today is for you. Today is a day of hope. One of the ways that God actually speaks to us is through the Bible. And one of the wonderful things about the Bible is that God speaks through stories that are timeless. Stories that not only tell us about God, but help us to know what we can expect from God now and into the future. They help us then, because we're looking for those things, to recognize how God is at work, even in the midst of times when we might feel trapped, when we might feel like there is no way out. For this week and the next 2 weeks, we're going to be continuing to talk about the story that the Bible calls the Exodus. This story is absolutely central to the Jewish faith. It is a story that continues to shape the people of God even in this day. And because Jesus was a Jew and comes out of that tradition, we have the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew Scriptures in our Bible, and this story becomes our story, which, as you'll hear later, is then reflected in the story of Jesus. Exodus was our theme this week for Vacation Bible School, and if you were here last week, you saw some of the things that we use to remind children that God is always with us. And when you go out, if you didn't see it coming in, you'll see a big mural in the back, an African mural, because we help the children think about when the people were slaves in Egypt and then when they were brought out of Egypt by God's mighty hand. Last week, Pastor Jenny started us in on the story. She started to help us to see how the Israelite people, because of a famine in their own land, had gone to live in Egypt. And they were welcomed into the land of Egypt when they went there, and they were friends with the Pharaoh at the time they went there. But over the 400 years that they stayed in Egypt, the people multiplied, and the Egyptians began to fear them, and to fear that if war broke out, they would be against the Egyptians and with the warring parties that had invaded their land. And so, over those years, gradually, they became an oppressed people and eventually a people in slavery. They became property to be used, abused, and discarded. Children were not born into freedom, but were born into slavery. These slaves were part of the slave labor to build some of the Egyptian store cities. And even though they were enslaved, and even though they were under oppression and used and abused, they still seemed to thrive. The book of Exodus tells us in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it reminds us, "Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph, who was the original brother who came in to Egypt. And he said to his people, 'Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us.' And the result then was, 'Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithon and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. They began to rule, and they wanted to oppress the people with fear and to break their spirit. And so these slaves cried out to their God, and they set in motion the events that would eventually bring them to freedom. The instrument of this freedom would be Moses. Moses, whom God would call. That story is recorded, or part of that story is recorded in chapter 3. Moses was out keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, and yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then the Lord said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Then God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians." And as Mary Ann read for us, to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God noticed the oppression of the people. And God still notices. God notices when we are suffering. God notices when we feel trapped and oppressed. God notices the oppression of any people. God notices and hears and cares. And so again, this set into motion a battle that would eventually be between Pharaoh and God. And guess who wins? In the end, the victory is the Lord's, and the deliverance comes to these people who were in cruel slavery. So after a bunch of arguing, if you know this story, Moses argues with God, he has all kinds of excuses, and finally, he says yes. One of the reasons why Moses was afraid to go back to Egypt is because he had killed a slave master who he saw oppressing his people. And so he was a wanted man. And God convinced him that those who wanted him dead were now gone, and so he could go back. So he goes back to Egypt, and God, in all of God's wisdom, sends his brother Aaron to meet him. Now Aaron is a slave himself and has been with these slaves, and they trust him. So Moses is going to be able to speak to the people through his brother Aaron. Then Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 5, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should need him? That I should heed him and let Israel go. I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence and sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of the land, and yet you want them to go and stop working?" That same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, as well as their supervisors, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." But you shall require of them the same quantity of bricks as they have made previously. Do not diminish it, for they are lazy. That is why they cry, let us go to offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on them. Then they will labor at it and pay no attention to these deceptive words. So God had sent Moses to warn the Pharaoh. Our God is a God of mercy even to the oppressor. And so Pharaoh was warned. But Pharaoh, the king, refused to listen. And so God sent all kinds of warnings. God turned the water of the Nile, the water that was the main water source for the people of Egypt, blood red. They couldn't drink it. They couldn't use it for bathing. They couldn't use it for washing. And the Pharaoh cried out to Moses, okay, I'll let them go. But as soon as the water turned clear again, he would not let them go. Plague after plague, frogs were sent, frogs in the oven, frogs in the beds, frogs on the tables, gnats, flies that covered the countryside like dust. And then finally, as a warning, God began to differentiate between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And the next plagues that were sent only on the Egyptian part of the countryside and not where the Israelites lived. And so God sent a disease on the livestock, and many of their livestock died. God sent a skin disease on the people, boils all over their skin, but the Israelites were protected. God sent hail upon the crops to shred their crops, and then a plague of locusts to eat up everything green that was left. And finally, this God of mercy, trying to warn the Pharaoh and helping him to save his people, sent darkness on the land in the middle of the day. And still the Pharaoh refused. So finally and sorrowfully, God sent Moses and Aaron to give one more warning. The Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh. And so Moses went to Pharaoh and said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out through Egypt. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, to the firstborn of the female slave who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Then there will be a loud cry throughout the whole land of Egypt, such as has never been heard or will ever be heard again. But not a dog shall growl at any of the Israelites, not people, not at animals, so that you may know the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Then all these officials of yours shall come down to me and bow low to me, saying, leave us, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. And in hot anger, Moses and Aaron left the presence of the people of Pharaoh. And it happened, sorrowfully, it happened just as Moses and Aaron had heard. And again, then the Bible tells us that the result was, at midnight the Lord struck down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his officials and all the Egyptians, and there was a loud cry in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night. Rise up and go away from my people, both you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you said. Take your flocks and your herds as you said, and be gone, and bring a blessing on me too. God notices, you see. God cares for people who are oppressed. God cares about our suffering, and God intervenes in a way sometimes that is surprising that we could never have expected. But even now, this isn't the end of this story of the Exodus, because the people go, And they camp by the Red Sea. It's a barrier that they can't cross. And Pharaoh decides to pursue them. He decides that his labor force is gone and he needs to go and get them back. And so the people find themselves trapped between the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh that is coming up behind them. But the scripture reminds us that nothing is impossible for God. And so in Exodus 14, we hear, as Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. And in great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. And as the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the Israelites had walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And to this day, the Jewish people celebrate the day of Passover, the day that the angel of death passed over their homes and that the Lord freed them in a wonderful and miraculous way. And God has continued to deliver us. God has continued to deliver us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Exodus story. In Jesus, God cares. When we are trapped and we cry out, God hears. And God often delivers us in a way that seemed impossible, in a miraculous way. God comes to us when we are trapped in shame and failure, with forgiveness and the opportunity for a new beginning. When we are in a place where we are hated and perhaps teased and oppressed, God comes to us with love and tells us how precious we are in God's sight. God cares in Jesus and shows us the way to what Jesus said was life in all of its fullness. And at Easter, we celebrate our Passover, our victory over sin and death. Easter is our day of Exodus, the day that we celebrate that love wins over all the forces of darkness and hatred that would oppress us and make us suffer. In this story, we learn three things. First, we learn that God holds history. God cares, hears, and cares about our suffering. God works in the midst of history. Our God is not a God who comes to us as pie in the sky by and by, but God is with us now in our everyday lives. We find that God is in control of history. And finally, we find and we learn that God delivers us from those things that would oppress us, things great and small. And so I wonder this morning, are any of you feeling trapped? Are any of you feeling like there is no way out? Have you cried out to this Lord, this God of deliverance? A couple of weeks ago, one of the members of our church was talking with me about a habit that she was trying to break. She was a smoker and had been so for many years and had tried all of the stuff that you can get to stop smoking, and it hadn't worked for her. And finally, she brought it to prayer, and she started praying about it. And she shared with me that God had delivered her finally, and that she had been now for months without smoking. Another person who is a member of this church told me that a number of years ago he came to this church with an anger problem. Anger was getting him in trouble, was ruining his life. It was consuming him. And he said gradually, as he worshiped with us, as he spent time with us, as he prayed about it, God began to teach him to deal with that anger. God began to help him to learn to control it. And finally, God was beginning, the process wasn't complete, and it still comes back to him, he said, but God was beginning to take that default of his away and give him other ways to live his life. God is able to do the impossible. Our God is a God who hears our cry for help, who cares about us, and who delivers us. And so this morning, if there's something that is oppressing you and pushing you down and trapping you, I challenge you, take it to the God who delivers. Amen.